Huh? You should have. You should have. So we started the service with that Shema. That's when Jerry said, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one." That's a creed even older than the Apostles' Creed. It was the first thing they said in Deuteronomy. In every service they'd start off in the ancient church, they'd say that Shema. They'd say it in Hebrew, though, so that's how we're going to do it this morning. Say it with me. Say Shema. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. You guys gave up like halfway through. You were good with Shema. It was like, Shema, Israel. Actually, it was more like, let's try it again. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Oh, this is the most powerful creed. The first word, Shema, it's translated here, but it's not here. Here is defined as when the part of your eardrum hits the other part of your eardrum and you receive the sound waves. That's the technical definition. But that's not what it means, right? When you look at that person and you ask the question, do you hear me? You are not asking, are the vibrations in the airwave hitting the eardrum at a way where you're comprehending sound? Are you? No, you're like, I like it better this way. Do you feel me? Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you receiving the message? Is it echoing through every fiber in your body? At least that's what my dad meant when he said, do you hear me? Right? Do you hear me? This verse starts and it says, Shema. That's what they call it. They just call it the Shema. The hearing. That thing that you hear, that it changes every fiber in your body. Shema Israel. See, the Shema is like, it's one of those words like, stop! Or even just saying it, everybody did. You've been in the room. We're going to be, by the way, taking down Christmas decorations right after the service. I hope you stay and help. And when we do, when somebody's up on a ladder and somebody else is carrying the glass, easily breakable Mary and Joseph, and somebody walks into the room and goes, stop! Everybody does. If you don't, and it's, stop, Henry! I know something's going down, especially if I'm up on the ladder. Right, that's how this verse starts. It says, Shema Israel. Do you realize that's your name? If you have Bibles, pop them open to 1 Peter 9 and realize what Peter's saying here. By the way, if you go to seminary here in Fort Wayne, this is the first sermon text that you're ever given. And this is the way it should be. You should be given this sermon text first. You should also have this verse memorized in case you forget your phone and your sermon outline. I came out here with stuff. I put it down somewhere. I did this first service, too. So I'm just going to go. And if anybody has it, correct me. But it says, for you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. Did I get that right? It's a little bit hard to believe that, ain't it? I mean, how often do you actually, you look in the mirror and you go, who am I? I'm a chosen race. That being part of this human race, you were hand-picked by the God who created the universe to be part of this thing we call life. You were picked. You were chosen. You were asked to be on the team. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. A priest. See, priests are the ones who have access to go and talk to God. No, that's what it is. Oh, thank you. I thought you were like disagreeing with, talk to God. I was like, Jerry, man, give it up for Jerry. I love. Oh, Mac, see, when I told you you're baptized into not just God's name, but a whole community, that's what I mean. People got your back. You may falter for a second, but they are with you. Thank you, Jerry. Oh. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You have access to the divine. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's who you are. That's who Israel is. That's what Peter's getting to in this, that you all by faith are an Israel by faith. And by the way, just this verse, just Shema Israel, that will change your life. The dude that you look at in the morning in the mirror, or the lady, man, do you believe that about them? That I'm a chosen race, that I'm a royal priesthood, that I'm a holy nation, that I'm a people belonging to God. Man, because if I believe that, I live different. If I believe that I got that kind of power and strength in me, I live different. And if I believe that about the person that I'm living with, I fight different. Don't you? I mean that maybe it's that person that you wake up next to. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's that coworker that just drives you nuts. Can I get an amen? Can I get a name? I'm kidding. I'm kidding, but you were thinking it, weren't you? You're sitting here going, ugh. Man, they're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. You want to see people live things out differently, just start stepping into that. But that's how this starts. It says, Hear, O Israel. That's our starting point, that we've already received, been picked by, and received the love of God. See, the Shema is so important that they said it was the greatest of all the commandments. When they walked around in Israel, they asked Jesus that question. They said, Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And this wasn't a new question. This wasn't something unique to Jesus. This is one of the things, actually, it's scarf weather. And in Israel, it's always scarf weather. By the way, who likes scarf weather? None of you. Fashion thing, or you don't like the cold? The cold, okay, good. First service, they were all like, fashion. I'm like, I love it. See, they have these things on the scarves that they wear, and in Israel, they still wear them to this day, only they wear them underneath their shirts. And you see the edges hanging out. They're called tzitzit. Everybody say that. Isn't that a fun word to say? If you're saying it right, I just want a pronunciation thing here. If you're saying it right, the person in front of you would have went like this. Tzitzit. The tzitzit are the little teeny tassels on the end, but each one represented one of the commandments in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all the way through, all of the thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and they wore it as a constant reminder of the commandments that they had to keep, the things that they were supposed to do. But honestly, if you have a list of things that you're supposed to do, there's some that are greater than others. Right, this isn't an Old Testament thing. This is like today, right? We got the don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't go 37 to 35. See, you even laugh at that one. Because there's some commandments that are greater than others. So they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, help us out. You're a rabbi. You're a teacher. What's the greatest of all these commandments? And Jesus started the way every rabbi did. He started Shema Israel. Because it starts with God's love for us. If it starts with any other place, we're missing the mark. It's covenant, right? We get our identity, and then we live into that identity in obedience. It's never the other way around. We don't get our obedience through identity. I'm sorry, we don't get our identity through obedience. Mac's parents didn't love him because he did good enough. He does good enough because they love him. Are you with me? Yeah. So he says, Shema, Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And because of that, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. Everybody point to your heart. Is that what Jesus was really saying? Was it? Or was Jesus using some figurative language here? See, I don't believe Jesus was saying we love God with our whole heart, both the right ventricle and the left ventricle. Right? We got all kinds of, there's figurative language in the Bible. Man, if God was being literal there, we got all kinds of problems. What happens if you have to have a bypass? Does that mean the pig now loves Jesus? And pigs are unclean, so we got all kinds of Torah problems. No, it's this figurative language. What does the heart mean when he looks at you and he says, girl, that was my Justin Bieber, by the way. Girl, I love you with my whole heart. None of you think an anatomical heart, do you? Now, what do you think? Okay, none of you think. Man, we'll be doing a marriage class sometime real soon. I know that's the, in English, in America today, the heart, it's the seat of emotion, right? That's where your emotion lives. And by the way, never, ever, ever confuse emotion and love. Can I get an amen on that? Anybody been married more than 2 years? Right, because sometimes the emotion's there, sometimes it's a flitter flatter, and sometimes it's love. Man, by the reaction, either you guys are dealing with some stuff or I need to preach a sermon on that later. By the way, it hasn't always been that way. I love looking, whenever you're talking figurative language, language changes over time. In the ancient world, the heart wasn't the seat of emotions. Do you know what it was? The bowels. Okay, come on, let's laugh. That is funny. Like, right, you can get it. You can get the why they went there. Because sometimes when you feel love, you feel, we call it butterflies in your tummy. Butterflies in your stomach. They were like, I don't know what they said. If they looked at it and it was like, Bieber, the Old Testament Bieber would be like, girl, you move me. First service, nobody knew if it was okay to laugh at that. There was like this dead silence. And then about 3 seconds in, everybody cracked up. See, in the ancient world, the bowels, the guts, are the seat of emotion. The heart was the seat of volition. The heart was the seed of the will, of the choice. Just letting that set for a second, because that's different than our culture, right? We get really confused because people preach on ask Jesus into your heart, and we get all confused about that if we think it's the emotional center. Now, the heart is the seed of the will. If you were to go Google will, and maybe it's just what I Google, that somehow my algorithm, first result for will was the shortest or the two-word conversation in the English language. That was the first search result. Anybody know what it is? It's Will Smith Smith. Will Smith Will Smith. I just thought that was funny. You guys are like seventh graders. You thought the bowels part was funny, but you didn't laugh at the Will Smith joke. Don't worry, you'll get it later. No, the will, the act of the will, the act of volition, the choices that we make. So what Jesus says is the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your will, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. See, the will, it's what harnesses us all together. It's making a choice and saying, I'm going in this direction. What happens if you get the dogs of soul, strength, and mind all harnessed together, all pulling in the same direction? Man, magic is going to happen. But any of us struggle with acts of the will, with choices. And I do every day. And I try to get up every morning and run a 5K. And it's a battle. My will's there. I set the alarm for 5:50 because I know the battle. I know I'm going to reach out and punch that clock at least once. And 9 minutes later, the battle will continue. Man, see, that's how it works with will, is you make a choice, and never confuse this. Once you make a choice, it's not one and done. It's a choice over and over and over and over again to align our will and our heart and our strength and our mind. That's what we're going to dig into for the next several weeks, is what does it look like? We're going to unpack soul and strength and mind. But it starts with an act of the will, an act in response to what God's already done for you. And I love with the Joshua text that they just read, because that's what Joshua is dealing with. They're going into this new land, this new era, this new territory, and there's going to be all kinds of different choices. By the way, the will can only deal with two or three things at a time. There was a study done. If you want to read about it, it's in the book, The Four Disciplines of Execution. They studied a whole bunch of companies, and companies that had two to three goals. How many things do you think get, and this is at a time, how many things do you think get done? And this isn't just companies. This is families, too. And this doesn't count the world when it's not like flush the toilet, do the laundry. This is goals. If somebody has two to three goals, how many get done? Yeah, those of you that said two to three got it right. Two to three things get done. But when a company raises it, and this is where most companies live, it's where most families live, it's where most of us live, to 4 to 10 things, how many things get done? If you have 4 to 10 goals, yeah, you got it right. Have you read the book? I think I gave it to you, didn't I? Good, man. See, Michael is what we call a plant. If nobody, I give you the book 6 months ago because I know I'm preaching on it. Yeah, you only get 1 to 2 things done. If you try to set your will on more things, you'll get less done. You'll reach less goals. And what happens if you go to 11 plus? What do you think the number drops to? 0. If you try to do more than 11 things, you get nothing done. Now it's honesty time. How many things are you trying to get done? If you're like most Americans, you got 8 to 10 at work. You got 8 to 10 in your family. You got 8 to 10 for your physical health. You got all these things, and we get nothing done. Joshua realized that as the people of Israel entered the promised land, they were going to have indubitable choices. And I just made up that word. They were going to have abundant choices. They were going to have so many choices. And he goes, guys, choose this day who you're going to serve. By the way, this is a great way to live, because a lot of you are hearing this sermon today, and you're going to walk out of here and you're going to go, man, Mikey could have benefited from that sermon. Now, this is for you. And that's me talking to the guy in the mirror, too. Joshua looks at him. He goes, choose this day who you will serve. But me, this is my choice. I'm not going to force it on you, because you can't force choices on other people. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live in response to all the things that God has given me. And here's the amazing thing. As the band comes forward to play the next song, to give you a different angle on this sermon, here's the beautiful thing that Jesus promises. He says, seek first me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your choice. Set your will on that. Make that your focus. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all this other stuff. It'll be added to you as well. All the stuff that we think we're following for our will, man, that's a side effect. And so as we press into this new year, I want to encourage you, set your will to Jesus. Or if you feel more holy, Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.